The United Nations has a membership of over 200 countries. They represent thousands of languages and dialects. Yet all those tongues must be used in proclaiming a special worldwide warning. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we learned that a great present truth message is contained in the book of Revelation and the Bible. We discovered also that it's not a closed book by any means, in spite of the feelings of many, many religious leaders and theologians. We hear so much about that sealed book and the mysterious book, the book of types and symbols that can't be understood today. But the book of Revelation contains some of the most vital truth for our very time. It's not sealed at all. In fact, we read in Revelation 1:3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now, isn't that clear and plain, friends? Nothing could be simpler. The book of Revelation never has been closed. Just the opposite is true. God wrote this book to reveal things that men never had understood before. This is the book of the last days. It has to do with conditions in the world at the very end of time. It has to do with the coming of our Lord, the ushering in of His new kingdom, and the final elimination of sin. All those things are included in the book of Revelation, so of course it's the devil's delight to hear people say the book is closed. You mark this well, friends. A man or woman in the last days of earth who does not understand the prophecies of Revelation does not stand a chance of really escaping the dangers and snares and delusions that lie just before us. The devil knows that. He knows that there's the information we need in the book of Revelation. And he invented that lie that the book is actually closed and sealed. So let's go to the message. Listen very carefully, and I'll read through quickly because we only want to review it today, beginning in Revelation 14, verse 6 and onward. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I looked," this is verse 14 now, "and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." So there it is, friends, God's message for the world today. It's the last warning that will ever be given to this world, and it's to be given just before the second coming of Christ. Immediately following this message, the prophet saw Jesus coming in the clouds to reap the harvest of the earth. Now notice that this is a message of extreme importance. It's not just another ordinary message, not just another prophecy. It is the final warning for this earth. In fact, it's a message tailor-made for our day. The world is without hope unless it understands this truth. This is God's present truth for this present hour. Now, please notice with me quickly some of the characteristics of this message. We won't take a great deal of time today, but let's see first that it's a message of extreme urgency. So many times you hear a sermon, and after you've heard it, you turn around and click off the radio or the television, or you go home from some preaching service in a church and say, I wonder what the purpose of that message was. Would I be worse off if I never heard it at all? Or would you be saying, What did he say anyway? I couldn't even understand what he was talking about. That happens a lot of times, friends. But I want you to know that here's a message of extreme importance, and it will have to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people on the face of the earth. In fact, this is a message that embraces a great worldwide missionary program. It's a message to reach every single soul. Too many things in our religious side of life are beside the point. And then a lot of things are absolutely unimportant and unnecessary. We're making another mistake, many of us, in laying long-range plans to meet a crisis or an emergency. A crisis or emergency demands crisis action. And here's the message right here in the Bible, friends, written down word for word that's to go all over the world. Every man has to hear it. That's just how urgent it is. Now, secondly, it's a message of the second coming. And how thankful I am for that. Here is one that hails the coming of Jesus as something positive. Immediately following this, the scriptures say John looked up and saw that event. It takes place after the warning has gone everywhere. And it's a message of accountability. I like that very much. The trouble with the people today in the world is they've forgotten that we're accountable to some higher being. But this message is simply saying you're going to face the judge very soon, so watch your behavior. And then it's a message that demands loyalty. Did you notice that? It starts out by saying, fear God. And then in verse 12, it specifically says that those who are honored and accepted by God must keep His commandments and keep the faith of Jesus. Both of them are necessary. Incidentally, if this is the message whose followers keep the faith of Jesus, there'll be no modernism in it, and there'll be no evolution, because the faith of Jesus knows nothing about those things. It will be a back-to-the-Bible, back-to-God program. The Scriptures specifically teach that. And here also is a message of warning against false worship. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. You know, friends, a very solemn warning is issued here against false worship. And these verses bring out the fact that it'll mean worshiping God or the beast. Fear God and give glory to Him, or fear the beast and give glory to Him. You remember that according to prophecy, a beast is a power. And this power has to do with religion because it's being worshipped. It's a matter of worshipping something false or worshipping something true. The great message is simply saying, be sure that you don't accept a counterfeit instead of worshipping the true God. Now, we'll have much more to say about that later. But did you notice that the message is also a three-point message? In fact, here are the three major issues brought out. Number one, the hour of God's judgment is come. Number two, Babylon is fallen. And number three, don't receive the mark of the beast. That is really the substance of this great final warning call of God. Now, please notice carefully that this is God's last warning. But how many sermons have you ever heard really preached about it? Now, this is a question we ought to answer way down deep in our hearts. It's very solemn. With this warning to go everywhere, have you heard it before? It should be ringing from every pulpit of every church in this land of ours and even in the whole world. I want you to think of the first message for just a moment. It says specifically, the hour of God's judgment is come. Do you know what that means? If it means anything, it means that the judgment is already going on. Is come is in the present tense. It's not will come, but is come. Now, there's another prophecy in this wonderful book that tells exactly when the judgment began in heaven and proves we're living in the time of the judgment. And we'll be talking about that in a later broadcast. But this is a part of the last warning message. And then in the second part of the message, Babylon is fallen. Notice what the Lord says about Babylon in Revelation 18, and you'll see why we preach on this subject. Verse 2 says, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. And then verses 4 and 5, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So whatever Babylon is, God says it's fallen. And I've got people in Babylon, and I'm saying to them, get out quickly, because it's fallen. And the devil has moved into Babylon, and Babylon is going to be unmercifully destroyed. Now, if that's a part, friends, of the last warning message, and God is saying to all men everywhere, get out of Babylon quickly or be destroyed, don't you think we ought to know what Babylon is? Do you know what it is right now? Are you in Babylon by any chance? Can you be sure? One day during this series, we're going to be spending a broadcast talking about it. There's an entire prophecy in the book of Revelation that tells exactly what it is. And we're going to show from the book of God that it is a part of the last warning message. Now, let's illustrate why. Suppose God said to Noah, Noah, a flood is coming, and I want you to tell this generation of people that they're going to be destroyed. And Noah would have said, well, that's really a wonderful new doctrine, but you know, I've been over to the university studying psychology, and I've learned quite a bit about psychoanalysis, and I think I'll speak on that topic for a while and see what I can do for the people. Now, friends, would that have been all right? Or suppose he would have told about the philosophies of the great men of the world. Would that have been all right? No, indeed, friends, it would have been criminal, because one thing only counted in those days. The world was going down to destruction. And God said, you warned the people. He had to give them the present truth. The same thing applies today. Preaching and teaching must include Revelation 14, 6, and 12, because this is God's last warning. The Lord knew what He wanted, and He placed it here in the Bible word for word. Now, if the Lord was so anxious about this message that He put it in here word for word, dare any of us treat that message lightly? Indeed not. Did you ever read Matthew 24, 14? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, if that means anything at all, it simply means that the last message to go to this world before Jesus returns is called the everlasting gospel. It's got to encircle the globe. Everyone must have an opportunity to hear it. And as soon as it happens, Christ will return. Now, maybe you're saying, this is the first time I've heard of it. I just wonder what progress the message is making. Let me tell you something, friends. Right now, this message is being made available to 98.5% of the world's population. Don't misunderstand me. Not all those people are listening to it or accepting it by any means, but it's available. It's going as a witness to those people. In Romans 9:28, we read, "For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Yes, God says He'll finish it. And He's going to do it very quickly. But go back to the story of Nineveh now for a moment. This one lone man, this prophet, was commissioned to go there and preach. And the city probably had about 200,000 people in it. And there was no publicity committee, no evangelistic company, no tent, no tabernacle, no money, no radio. Can you believe it? All he had was himself. And he started preaching. And in a short time of 40 days, he preached that whole city into repentance and conversion and turned every one of them to God. Well, friends, that was a special message. And God has a message for today. And we need to be proclaiming it. And now this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.